Good morning, everyone. I will be reading from the New King James Version, Psalm 116, verses 12 through 14. Psalm 116, verses 12 through 14. What shall I render to thee, Lord? For all his benefits towards me, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all his people.
It is truly a blessing to be here on this morning. We're thankful to the God of heaven who allows us to come to worship him in spirit and in truth, to be able to encourage one another, to help one another, to bless one another. If you are visiting with us, I want to let you know that you are indeed our honored guest. And we are eternally grateful for your presence. On this morning, as we conclude some thoughts concerning Christ's authority, we have been looking at his authority all month. We have been considering his authority not only on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, but also on Wednesday nights. And so as we consider the benefits of Christ's authority, his power, if you are visiting with us, of course, you see the QR code behind me. You can gather the notes. Those are the notes that I will be looking at and preaching from. And usually I pretty much stay with the notes to help us to stay in line with the lesson. When we consider Psalm 116, I want us to read Psalm 116, and then we'll look at some thoughts concerning the authority of Christ. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol lay hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. The psalmist definitely was amazing in so many ways. We find the psalmist as he pours his heart out unto God. There are a multiplicity of psalmists. Not sure who this psalmist was, perhaps David, perhaps others. We don't know. But I do know this, that whoever it was, he poured out his heart to God. He understood who the Lord was. When I consider the Psalms, and we consider the Psalms, there are so many Psalms that we could have looked at. We could have looked at Psalm 2, where you see the magnificent authority and the majesty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in prophecy. We could also look at Psalm 16, where we understand the Messiah's resurrection and how he would rule even over his opposition and ascend to the God of heaven. We could look at that one. We could consider Psalm 110 as he rules after the order of Melchizedek, being a ruler of righteousness. One thing that we know about Melchizedek and know about Jesus the Christ, that they were kings and priests, and that they ruled in righteousness. And those in whom they ruled over allowed themselves to be recipients and beneficiaries of that righteousness. I could throw in many more, like Psalm 22 to Psalm 24, as it relates to how Jesus would be the shepherd, and how that great shepherd would be one who would sit at the right hand of God and he would rule over his people. We could look at Isaiah 53 and see this great Messiah as he is on the cross between thieves. We could look at so many different psalms. Yet when we consider Psalm 116, there are so many lessons to glean from this particular psalm. As we heed to the Messiahship of Jesus, as we heed to him as our Lord, our Master, as our Savior, as we benefit from his rulership in our lives. And brethren, we must benefit from it. When we consider Psalm 116, if you look at your notes real quick, won't go through all of these. I wanted to give them to you, but I definitely won't look at all of them with you for time's sake. I know for a fact there's at least about an hour and a half worth of information here, but I wanted you to go and look at some things yourself. In the first two verses, we see the psalmist was praising God for his generosity toward him. We see in verse number 2 that he listened to him. The Lord listened to him. He was gracious toward him. He preserved him in verse number 5 and 6. We also see that he saved him, which caused him to have great confidence and courage, that when he go out and he spoke to others, he didn't mind doing that. The psalmist, in verse number 12 through verse number 14, we see that he returned gratitude. He wanted to return gratitude. Often told our children when we were rearing them up that when you consider this idea of gratitude, the idea of gratitude is to say thank you when something good has been done to you or for you. The proper response to a good deed done to you is thank you. Or obedience. Here, the psalmist wanted to return gratitude for the grace shown toward him. If you notice, letter B, God's generosity caused him to ponder, what can I do for God? He's shown me great, great grace. He's shown me great generosity. He's demonstrated to me great benefits. What can I do for him? God's generosity conferred upon him. He called upon the name of the Lord. And God's generosity certified unashamedly before all men. Because he has done this for me, I'm going to speak to everyone about him. Everybody will see that the Lord governs my life. Let us see. The psalmist will offer sacrifice of thanksgiving unto God. Look at verse 16 and 17. He says, O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. Notice what he says. I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. We'll look at that a little closer here in a little bit. But it's understood that when you think about peace offerings, especially in the book of Leviticus, could it be possible that the psalmist is talking about this? However, when you consider the context, truly, he must be talking about offering the sacrifice of his lips towards God. When we consider this, we understand that freedom from bondage should result in thanksgiving toward God. Those of us who have been immersed into Christ, baptized into Christ, obeyed the gospel, what is the proper response? Father, thank you. Thank you for delivering me from my sin through the blood of your son, Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice. Therefore, I sacrifice myself to you. Free will offerings are sacrificial unto God. Freedom to sing unto the Lord God. Hebrews chapter 13, 12 through 15. We just sung a song, I believe it's Thank You, Lord. Really, if you was to tweak that song, and we should, we ought to be thanking the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what we ought to be doing. to tweak that song to be a little bit more precise. But point number two, we understand that God desires for his people to benefit from his son's authority. And brethren, we are to be a people who are thankful to Almighty God. Why? Look at point number two. What has God benefited us with as his people? He benefited us with the God-man, Jesus the Christ. No one else could have performed what Jesus performed. You remember in John 1 and verse number 1 through John 1 and verse number 18, it was Jesus, the Word of God, that became flesh. When we consider, what did God do for us? Letter A, it says, he blessed us or benefited us with a God-man who knows God's side and man's side. Friends, when we consider this, no wonder Jesus is our intercessor. No wonder he's our mediator. He's the one that goes to God on our behalf. He's our advocate. He's our spiritual lawyer, if you will. And John would actually demonstrate this in 1 John 2, the first two verses. We understand very clearly that we can go to the Father through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that we're going through. He's the one that came to declare the Father. He's the one who is the man, Christ Jesus. We stop and we consider, how can he know both sides? Being fully God and fully man, he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. Friends, what did God benefit us with? He benefited us with a Savior that is 100% God and 100% man and understands both sides. No wonder we can go through him. No wonder we can trust him. No wonder we can submit our will under his authority. And friends, make no mistake about it. Jesus Christ has all authority. God gave him all authority, which means that no one else has any authority. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 28 and verse number 18. This verse has been taught on and preached about every single week. You can never hear enough of it. This is why we ought to be reading God's word every single day. You'll never read anything that you haven't read before. You may have a greater understanding, but you won't ever read anything that you haven't read before. Why? Because it's the word of God and it doesn't change. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18, the Bible here says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, notice, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Friends, Jesus has all authority, and God has benefited us as his people with a man, a God-man that has all authority. We never, ever have to wonder who has authority over our lives. We know it. And this particular individual, this God-man, the next little sub-point, he is never tyrannical. He is never an oppressor. When I considered this and I thought about it, and more I thought about it, I was thinking about Ecclesiastes 8 and verse number 9, how a man will rule over another man to his own hurt. Not Jesus. Not Jesus. Jesus will always be that ruler, that one who is Lord, that Messiah, that Christ who has all authority. And Brother Royce, he will never mistreat us. He will never lead us down the wrong path. In Luke chapter 9, verses 55 and 56, turn your Bibles there. The disciples had to learn a lesson from Jesus, for they wanted to destroy people. Why? For some strange reason. I don't know why men want to destroy men so quickly. Not God, not the Son of God, not the Messiah. God has benefited us with a man, a God-man, that truly wants to save all men. In Luke chapter 9, starting at verse number 55. Here, we understand that it was the disciples that wanted to be like Elijah and rain down fire from heaven. Jesus turns and he rebukes his disciples and he says in verse number 55, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. Friends, this is why we're in the seeking and saving business.
Luke 19 and 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. This is why we're in that business. Under the authority of Jesus Christ, we go out with the gospel of Jesus Christ, demonstrating that God wants them saved from their sins, not wanting to destroy men in their sins. And I think about the Apostle Paul when he talked about his authority as an apostle in the book of 2 Corinthians. I believe it's the last chapter there. He says, we have this authority. It's not for your destruction, but for your edification. It's for your building up. And so God has benefited us with a God-man who is not tyrannical. If anything, he says, I want you to come to me because I know God's side and I know man's side and I've been in all points tempted. I just need you to submit to me and I'll lead you in the right direction. God has always led us in the right direction. Now, he sent Adam. Adam didn't do what was right. He sent the second Adam. He did what was right. And no wonder that second Adam can say, Brother Payton, and I love what you had to say up here. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Let me teach you. Why is it that man wants to follow his own authority, his own whims, his own ways, when Jesus is screaming, if I can say it metaphorically, he's screaming, listen to me, I can lead you in the right direction in every aspect of your life. I can do that for you. How can you do that, Jesus? Because I'm not tyrannical. If anything, I'm holy, I'm harmless, separate from sinners, and I want to lead you in the right direction. Look at letter C. What has God benefited us with? He benefited us with a God-man that gives us direct access. I need you to slow down and think about this. Because we live in a world, because people are not reading their Bibles, Brother Daniel. They're not reading their Bibles. And they think that they can approach God without a mediator. They think that they can approach God without an intercessor. They think that they can approach God without the God-man, Jesus Christ. You can't do it. You can't do it as it relates to salvation. You can't do it as it relates to offering sacrifices of thanksgiving towards God in New Testament worship. You can't bypass Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the one, which means that when we consider him being the intercessor, the mediator, the go-between, the advocate, it don't stop with Jesus, it goes through Jesus. By his authority, we approach God. Brother Dennis in his prayers always says, and for some reason, I never get tired of hearing it, approaching him. Brethren, don't make it a light thing to approach God. The sinner is always trying to approach God in their sin. You can't. We approach God when we have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ as a sinner. When our conscience has been cleansed from dead works. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 9. Let's turn there. This is why it's so important for us to take the gospel message out. Why? Because God has given Jesus all authority, Matthew 28. Jesus in his prayer in John 17 and verse number 2, I thank thee, Father, that you've given me authority over all flesh. You've got to listen to Jesus. If a man won't listen to Jesus, he can't be heard by God. You've got to listen to Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 9, starting at verse number 11, here we find something very powerful and worthy of our consideration and imitation. In Hebrews chapter 9, starting at verse number 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. Notice what Jesus did. With his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all. Let's stop. You think about that phrase, once for all. In the Greek, it literally means one time for all time. Brother Royce, isn't that beautiful? No longer the blood of bulls and goats being sacrificed. Some scholars say in antiquity that the blood of the sacrifices, would just run from the altar all the way down the streets because sin was being sacrificed for, thanksgiving offerings were being given, blood was being shed, and Jesus was a one-time for all-time sacrifice for sin. Jesus did that. One time for all time. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats, listen, and the ashes of a heifer sprinkle the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the body, the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, how much more shall the blood of Jesus, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, watch this, cleanse your conscience. In order for one to approach God, one has to have a cleansed conscience. Why? Because Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, sin separates man from God. And when a person doesn't submit themselves under the authority of Christ, they don't receive the benefits, Brother Ryan, of God. And so when we think about the benefits of Jesus Christ offering himself as a sacrifice, as a blood sacrifice to cleanse our conscience from dead works, from the old system of living, from the old law, contextually speaking, from our old lifestyle, friends, Jesus gives us direct access. Do we understand as people of God, as children of God, as Christians, members of the Lord's church, the direct access we really have? And then for a false teacher to get up and say, well, everyone has direct access to God the Father. That's false. Only those who have obeyed Jesus Christ and submitted themselves under the authority of Jesus Christ. All men are under the authority of Christ. Why? Because all men have flesh. But notice what he says, because I just made a comment and a statement, but let me prove it. Look at the latter end of verse number 14. When we think about this and we consider, cleanse your conscience from dead works, this is why, to serve. The word serve there comes from the Greek word latreo. It literally means to offer up spiritual homage and worship and sacrifices. Notice the text, Brother Zach, to who? To God. Notice the one who is making it possible. Notice who is the beneficiary. We are. Notice the one who has given us the benefit, Christ. It is through his blood cleansing our conscience. Now we can latreo, we can serve, we can worship God in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? That means if I don't come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, or if I'm living in sin as a child of God, 1 John 1, verse number 7 through verse number 9, if I don't get my situation right with God, if I don't get my life right with God, if I don't examine myself whether I am in the faith, then I'm going to find myself not being able to approach God. I always want to be in a position to approach God. Why? Because I have direct access. And that direct access is because Jesus Christ is the one that makes us beneficiaries. Question, aren't you glad to be a beneficiary of the sacrifice of Christ? To be able to come in contact with the blood of Christ in immersion and baptism for the remission of your sins, and now you can walk in the newness of life. Now you can be an individual with a cleansed conscience towards God. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 3. Look at verse number 21. Peter would pretty much say the same thing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We understand that the conscience, man is made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, important passage. God is coming in contact by the blood of Christ, with the conscience of man, with the conscience of man. It's important for us to understand that. Why? Because it's the conscience that must be cleansed in order to approach God. And so as we approach God, we're appealing to God. The non-Christian has to appeal to God in order to have a cleansed conscience. In 1 Peter 3, in verse number 20, notice what your Bible here says. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. Watch this. In which a few, that is, eight souls were saved through water. Eight souls were saved through water. There's also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. An answer of a good conscience? What are one of the benefits of having Christ over us? We get to appeal to God. Friends, don't take that lightly. As a child of God, do not take the blood of Christ lightly. Do not take lightly having a cleansed conscience. That's one of the benefits of being under the authority of Jesus Christ. And so with that being said, it is through that blood that God gives us admission toward him. Turn to Romans 5. Brother Payton, when you came up here and you started talking about Romans 5, I almost said, hey, that's my lesson. Don't go there. But he didn't touch the passages that I wanted. We appreciate the work he does. Look at verse 1 and 2. We understand that Jesus was raised from the grave for our justification, the very last verse in Romans 4. Verse number 1, therefore, having been justified, the idea of justification to be declared right, as if you never sinned. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have, notice, peace with God. Friends, God is the only one that can offer the peace. God is the only one that can extend the peace, yet we can be recipients, beneficiaries of that peace that he offered and extended. We have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have, now notice this, access. The word access in the original literally means admission. You know, if you was to walk into a movie theater and you did not pay, do you know that's stealing? Yet when you go to the box office and you pay your money or you get your ticket online, you can show them your QR on your phone or you can get it printed out and you just show it. Here. Okay, go on in. Why? You have admission. God is the same way. God says, okay, here I am. And I'm going to give you the admission piece. I'm going to give you Jesus. And it is through his sacrifice, through the cleansed conscience, now you can approach me because you've already appealed to me and I accept your appeal. Now, I need you to listen to my son. He has all authority. Listen to him. And when you listen to him, it's listening to me. If I don't listen to Jesus, I'm not listening to God. For Jesus came to declare the Father, and he had to declare him because no one can approach him and live without Jesus. You remember, here's a little side point. You remember when Moses wanted to see the face of God in Exodus 33 and Exodus 34, and it was God that put Moses into the cleft of the rock. And he showed him his backside. He showed him his glory as he passed by him. It's interesting. Jesus is our rock. And he hides us in the rock. He hides us in Jesus. He hides us in his son. Why? For us to come before God without Jesus, it will destroy us because of his essence, his glory, his majesty, his pureness, his holiness. Friends, we ought to be thankful for the God-man, Jesus Christ. Notice as we finish this passage, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Friends, God has given us access. He's given us admission, and we ought to be thankful for the very God-man that delivers us. Last point, and I said all of that and went to Psalm 116 just to get to this point right here. Because without Jesus, there is no singing praises to the Father. Not in the New Testament. No, sir, no, ma'am. Jesus makes that possible. He makes it possible for us to be cleansed, that we may approach God, that we may offer up spiritual sacrifices, 1 Peter 2 and verse number 5, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, which means that it doesn't stop with Jesus. It goes through him. He's the God-man. We're the beneficiaries. He's the one that's offering the benefit. What are some benefits? What are some advantages, point three, from Christ's authority? His authority gave us access to offer true worship to the Father. And because of that, we ought to be very thankful. We know that through his Son, we can now go to him. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Because it is through these benefits, God gave us access to offer sacrifices of praise, which goes back to that Psalm 116 and verse number 12 through verse number 17. The Bible is not a book that's disjointed. You're not going to have a passage here that's out of joint with another passage. John 10 and verse number 35, Jesus said the scriptures cannot be broken, which demonstrates to us that when we see something here, you ought to be able to see it somewhere else. Why? Because it's the mind of God. It's the spirit of God. It's the word of God. It's God the Father. And God is not disjointed. God is always in line with himself. And Hebrews chapter 13, starting at verse number 10, notice what the Bible here communicates. He says, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Here he makes the contrast from those who desire to keep the old system, the law of Moses, rather than submitting themselves under the law of Christ. Why? Because all men are under the law of Christ. He says they don't have no right to this. For the bodies, verse number 11, of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, and burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp. Let us go forth outside of Jerusalem. Let's go to him. Hold on. If I want to go to the Father, I gotta leave man-made ideas and ideologies. Contextually, if they were to approach the Father and bear fruit unto the Father, Romans 7 and verse number 3 and 4. If they were to do that, they had to leave Mosaic system, which was already nailed to the cross, Ephesians 2, 11 through 15. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 11 through 15 as well. Leave that. Why? Because all authority is under Christ now, not Moses. Under the law of Moses, they needed to listen to Moses, but now we're under Christ. And if you're under Christ, you need to go outside of the gate, outside of the camp, bearing his reproach. Look at verse 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, that is Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Brethren, did you see that? Are you listening to that? Here is through Jesus that we get to approach God. We get to offer up thanksgivings to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. That's powerful. We get to offer thanksgiving to God by the fruit of our lips, and it's through him. It's because God gave him authority to do that. Which means that if I do anything other than offering the fruit of my lips, then that's not by his authority. Why is it, brethren, that people have instruments of music in worship? Why are our own brethren hand clapping and acting like they're in a nightclub beatboxing? Why are they doing that? There's no authority for that. Why are people doing what they want to do in New Testament worship? In essence, just telling God, you take this because I like it and I'm good at it. I didn't know we had that authority. I thought the benefits of the authority of Christ is that we see unity and we see oneness and we see a lack of confusion. Why is it that we have even our own brethren today who have praise teams and women up front in those praise teams? Why is that? Why is that? That's because they don't appreciate the benefits of Christ's authority. Why is it that men and women are doing their own thing when it comes to Christianity? Because they don't appreciate the benefits of Christ's authority. And Brother Ryan, we've been nailing Colossians 3:17 all month. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all by the name, the authority of Jesus Christ. I don't have a right to do what I want to do. Yet God, he's so merciful and patient. Friends, some of the benefits that God blesses us with is to be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. This is a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to assemble together and to sing glorious hymns and odes to God and spiritual songs and psalms to God, Ephesians 5:18 and 19. What a blessing it is to be able to offer up prayers to God, to remember the Lord's death till he come, to hear the preached word. What a blessing it is. To give to God, what a blessing it is. And yet when men say, well, I don't see it that way. Basically what they're saying is, Christ, I know you have all authority, but just not right here. Friends, let it never be said that about us. We submit to the authority of Christ. He has the final say. And Jesus was given that authority on that last day in John 5:21 and 22. God won't judge men. God will judge men through his son, Jesus Christ, for he has placed all judgment to him. What are the benefits? What are the great benefits? He has given us access to offer ourselves, let us see, as living sacrifices to God. Romans 12:1-2, the ability to offer ourselves. I'm so thankful that no one else can offer themselves for me. I got to do this for me. And so when I'm sitting on the pew and the communion is being passed, I partake of the bread, I partake of the fruit of the vine, and now as my brethren are taking it, I'm contemplating what Jesus Christ did for me. I'm contemplating my own personal life. I want to make sure that this is not in vain. Why? Because Christ has all authority in my life. And so when I sin against my God, when I sin against Christ, I want to make it right. What a benefit. That we can go to the Father and say, Father, I've sinned. I'm sorry. Father, I've been negligent. I'm sorry. Father, I rejected your authority in my life for all of these weeks, all of these months, all of these years. I'm sorry. And God says, I'm faithful and just to forgive. He's not like man. Man holds grudges, not God. Mm-mm. God, he takes our sin when we make things right with him, and he casts them as far as to the east, to the west. Never to bring them up no more. All because of the God-man, Christ Jesus. I don't know why men are trying to bypass Jesus. I don't know why men are trying to not go all the way to God. That's why we don't sing to Jesus. That's why we don't pray to Jesus. That's why we don't offer a sacrifice of giving to Jesus. No, we obey Jesus. Why? Because God said, hear him. Listen to him
And when you listen to him, then you're listening to me, he says. What a blessing that God has blessed us with. The benefits of just being children of God. And not only do we approach him, but we encourage one another. We admonish one another. We help one another as parents, as grandparents, as members of the Lord's church, as citizens of the United States of America. Let me say this. Let me say this. Brethren, what a great nation we're still in because the Constitution is still in place. Which tells me that as long as I hold people accountable to that Constitution, I'm going to be okay. Psalm 11 and verse number 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Which tells me that when that goes, you're going to have some serious problems. Because that was formulated upon this. No other nation is like this one. But no other nation is like the Lord's church. Built upon the Constitution of the Bible, the Word of God. And no wonder when Jesus would speak, he spoke as one having authority and not as the scribes. Friends, we need to listen to Jesus. Brother Tobias, when you're preaching, preach the book. Brother Ryan, Brother Royce, when you're preaching, if you preach, preach the book. Nobody cares about your opinion. Nobody cares about your stance. Preach the book. Why? Because that's where the benefits are. And you get outside of the Word of God, you're hanging yourself. You stay with the Word of God, you'll never be defeated. Why? Because just as they did to Christ, they'll do to us. And what did God do as we close? God avenged his son. The devil, I bet, believed that he had Jesus right where he wanted him. The Jews thought they had him right where they wanted him. If they would have known who he was, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would have known all of the prophecies and understood them properly. They wouldn't have killed that man. They'd have said, this is him. If we stand on the word of God, God will avenge us one day. When? At the resurrection. You do what God says. And if God didn't say it, if his son didn't say it, leave it alone. Run from it. Go the other way. And if you do that, you'll see benefits in your life. You'll see it in your children. You'll see it in your posterity. We'll see it in the congregation. We'll see it in our nation if we'll just do what God says and benefit from it. But if we're arrogant and we say, I know the Bible says, but I've made up my mind, it's time to walk away from people like that. Why? I'm too old to be fighting with someone that's fighting with God. Too old now. You want to fight with God? I'm going to let you do that. But I'm going to stay with this book. He's got us this far. I don't think he's going to lead us in the wrong direction. Let's have a word of prayer and offer the invitation. Holy God and Father, you're good to us for that. We're thankful. We're thankful for your love. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your foresight. We're thankful for who you are. We're thankful for your son, his obedience to you, his willingness to obey you, his willingness to be your son, teaching us how to be your sons and daughters. Pray to Father you be with this congregation. Help us all to strive to do that which is right. Help us to be holy, godly, righteous. Forgive us when we fall short. Forgive us when we sin. Help us to be an anchor for those who are in our midst, whether far or near. Father, we ask that you be with our visitors, whether they're members of your son's church or not. Pray to Father that you be with them as you have commanded us through your son to pray and to be examples to all men. We love you. We ask that you give us strength. Grant us discernment. Help us to be a people who are encouraging, enlightening, empowering to one another and to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider obedience to Jesus Christ, that you may be a beneficiary of his authority. You already are, whether you're in Christ or not, you already are a beneficiary. How? God has given us his word. Therefore, he has given us his grace. Yet that grace is in Christ, which means that you have to obey that word to get in his son. And the very fact that he didn't leave us in our sins, but gave us a way back home to him, you already are a beneficiary. But you got to come all the way. You got to come all the way to the gospel, come all the way to the cross, come all the way to God. And the only way to do that is by humbling your will to his will. By believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, being willing to repent of sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God will do something amazing in your life. He'll forgive you for everything you've done wrong. He'll put you in his son's church, the church of Christ. Live faithful even unto death, and he'll give you the crown of life, Revelation 2:10. You'll benefit with all the spiritual blessings, the family of God, the hope of eternal life. What more can you ask for? Maybe you're a child of God and you need special prayer. We want to pray for you. We want to encourage you to be all that you can be, that you can do what God said through Jesus. You can live the abundant life. As we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.